Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Thank you to everyone in the universe that stands by my vernacular and my singing voice. Lakers Nuggets, game three tonight. Must win or just win for the Nuggets. We'll get to that soon. Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Jhené and Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jhené and Golic Jr. reminding you to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And in about 10 minutes, we'll tell you which NFL quarterbacks are under pressure. But first, we've got some breaking news. You just heard it from our own queen, Christine Lisi. Billy Donovan has agreed, according to Woj, to become the next coach of the Chicago Bulls. What are your thoughts, Junior?
Yeah, immediately, this is an interesting one. We all figured that when Billy Donovan headed out of Oklahoma City that there was going to be someone in need of his services. And this is really interesting, Jhené, because we've been looking for any sort of turnover, that Garpak's front office combination for the Chicago Bulls and what had been going on there, going all the way back to Tom Thibodeau, it feels like. We've been searching and kind of wandering around in the dark. And so I look at this and go, all right, he has been a stable coach of a franchise that has gone through a ton of different metamorphosis in Oklahoma City, dealt with big-time stars, various combinations of them, and he's found ways to coach winning basketball. Now, I know he kind of left on a strange note during the NBA bubble playoffs this year, but I think overall this is a guy that consistent coaching pedigree, is used to coaching stars, and can be a way you start to build and try and recruit some of those names to Chicago with this new group. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I think this is a guy that most notably has developed some young stars. You know, we're talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, and then brought in one veteran by the name of Chris Paul that has really helped them, you know, have a season in which they surprised a lot of us. So yeah, that's probably what he's expected to do with Chicago, where they have their own version of young stars. Again, Billy Donovan, next head coach of the Chicago Bulls. That was the breaking news, but there was also so much more news when it comes to college football as well, right? Your alma mater, Notre Dame. Notre Dame has postponed its upcoming game against Wake Forest after 7 positive coronavirus tests, which brings us to this one big topic of the state of COVID, because there's been some, you know, new developments when it comes to how teams are dealing with this. So the one big topic of COVID in sports right now.
It really has been. And this one, listen, for the ACC, this is now the 4th game that they've had postponed as a conference. I think we've seen double-digit postponements already in the world of college football overall. So, Jhené, I looked at this and I said, all right, Notre Dame and Wake Forest, this game's going to get postponed. They both have an open weekend yesterday. This is why you had all these built-in sort of areas of wiggle room scheduling-wise for a lot of these conferences. I expected everyone to deal with some version of this, but I still wasn't prepared for how jarring it was to actually see and understand, all right, there are a bunch of athletes on this team that are now dealing with this virus and affected by this virus in a very real way. That was the source of a lot of concern for a lot of us going into this season. And so it's disappointing because that safety is now compromised. And we know these schools were efforting and had been efforting very well in the best interest of trying to protect these athletes. And we see it's so difficult given all the constraints about the environment of a college campus.
You know, it's interesting because you have seen it, you know, through your personal ties to Notre Dame, and you're feeling it differently. And I felt it differently, especially when it happened with the WNBA. So when was this? I can't remember which day it was. So a couple of days ago, 48 hours ago, whenever it was, just sitting down and getting excited to watch the WNBA playoffs in the middle of all these sports, and then starting to see that there might be rumblings of, you know, a team not going into the arena. And I was like, what's happening here? And then we find out, you know, not too long after, our commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, basically speaks and announces the fact that, hey, we've had some inconclusive tests. Mind you, this is in the WNBA playoffs. Imagine this happening in other situations, right? It could be something that really is jarring. We've had inconclusive tests, and so now we have to remove the players from the situation, the environment, and make sure we get the data that we need. So this happened in the WNBA playoffs, where 4 teams are left. There was expectation to play game one. Everyone was so excited, and now a couple of key players needed to get more data. And I still honestly don't know what I think they came out with an announcement like recently or something. But this is what happens in real life. You've seen it through Notre Dame. I've seen it through the WNBA. But this is the evolving nature and the state of sports. And that's why I feel like it's great to see the NBA still moving smoothly in the bubble. It's good to see that we have the contract tracing so that, and the leadership to basically put, hey, it's important to put this on pause. Not important to go to the game 2 hours later where, you know, we work in media. Like, as a broadcast partner, you're like, oh, snap, no game. But these are all the right decisions that are being made, and this is what's happening in real time.
Yeah, the right decisions based on where we're at. Again, there are still people, and I can understand, they look at it and say, was it the right decision to do any of this, given what we were dealing with? And I think it is, it's jarring in a lot of ways, Chinay, because we expect, we've seen the WNBA be a model for this alongside the NBA. We know pro sports are different from college sports in so many ways that we've approached this, but even a program like Notre Dame and the top-tier college programs around the country, some of which we haven't seen kick off yet. We know the Big Ten will be in late October, the SEC getting ready to kick off as well this weekend. But we had Pete Sampson on before, Notre Dame beat writer for The Athletic, and we asked him about how surprising this was for a program like Notre Dame that had been able to weather the storm early on in August, both on campus and in the football program. Here's what he had to say.
In August, when the campus was having an outbreak, the football program was not. And the football program was sort of held up as, you know, when you distance and wear masks and wash your hands and follow all these protocols, you will be okay. The campus sort of fell in line with the football program at that point. Now we're sitting here, and yesterday Notre Dame at the campus announced one positive test. Today they announced one positive test. So for the football program to have 13 active cases at a time when the campus at large has 33 total is concerning. That's, you know, roughly 33%, a third of all the cases are within your football program. It's not a good place to be. So Notre Dame needs to get to the bottom of this, and that's what they're doing right now. You know, as I can't sit here and tell you what the outcome is going to be, because I don't think Notre Dame knows what the outcome is going to be as far as how far the contact tracing goes and players who would have to then go into quarantine for the 14-day minimum.
Chinay Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That was, again, Pete Sampson, Notre Dame beat writer for The Athletic. And Chinay, the concerns aren't that, well, Notre Dame looked great through two games and you have these expectations. It's the safety for people involved here. Again, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'm sure people are sick and tired of hearing from me, but this is all about the inequities in the system of college athletics. This is about the difference of pro leagues that have a say in their return and college athletes that don't in any way that truly is meaningful or tangible in this. And so when a situation like this comes up, I say, all right, with all due respect, bump what's ever going to happen with these games. We've clearly seen college football will figure out how to get these games played. It's, can we get what Pete mentioned there, a handle on this situation in the best interest of the health and safety of the athletes involved as we have going forward? Because that's the only marker for success. It was the only marker for success when we talked about it this summer, and it's going to continue to be as long as they continue to plow ahead on this across college football. And like we said, we got leagues that are getting ready to get started now. Like, the Big Ten's got to be looking at this, saying, we're going to do 8 games in 8 weeks with no wiggle room. I get they have daily testing, but there has still got to be some daunting feeling knowing this seems inevitable for most programs.
Exactly. This is something that we've sort of realized that it's going to be a constantly evolving process, and where the hope, the ambition is that each conference, each sport will learn from the one that has experienced something in the real time. And you mentioned the Big Ten, you know, what did their now transparency and, you know, so much information finally and getting to the place where we wanted them to be, how did that influence, you know, the standards that maybe hopefully the Pac-12 will have, or most notably even the SEC? And I think it was a good development to see that every football player in the SEC now will wear the small lightweight devices, also used in the NFL, right, to help with COVID contact tracing. So, like, these are all things you're seeing in real time, games getting postponed, but also how are you going to prevent that? How are you going to create systems for this to be mitigated moving forward? It's nice to see that from the SEC as well.
Yeah, it's going to see if those added measures are going to give them any insulation. Notre Dame had still been testing like a lot of other teams 3 times a week, has a ton of resources, and so this one could understandably give a lot of people great pause as they get ready for a return to play. We will see what happens after that pause in play for Notre Dame. Them and Wake Forest, there's the potential for October 3rd weekend. They both have it open, but we know there is still a lot to clear before we get to that point. So, coming up next, Chinay, do you remember, did they ever do this for you coming up in school? Everyone gets a report card. Did you get progress reports?
I got progress reports, yeah.
All right, coming up next, I'm going to tell you and give you progress reports for a couple of young quarterbacks in the NFL and tell you why they were a living hell in the Golic house growing up. That's all coming up next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You're right, Junior. Seasons are changing. School is back. Summer's turning to fall. It's time to get graded, right? Shanae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. here on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, you know, the Nuggets, they have a big test coming up, down two games to the Lakers. We'll get back to the hardwood in a little to tell you if this is a must win or a just win game for the Nuggets. But first, a lot of quarterbacks, I feel like, have opportunity and they're making the most of it, right, Junior?
They are. Big time opportunities made, Shanae. And we came into the season looking at this situation saying there were a few quarterbacks that were going to be under a microscope. I think we look at young quarterbacks, especially ones still on those rookie contracts, with that discerning eye nowadays because they are cheaper to acquire in the draft than they used to be. And so the prospect of moving on from one shouldn't be as daunting for a lot of teams. See the desert where they took Josh Rosen with their first pick and then a year later took Kyler Murray to link up with Cliff Kingsbury. And through the first two games of the season, Shanae, I think you'd agree, this is a team, one of your side piece teams, that looks like they're living up to every bit of the offseason hype. They were one of the darling picks, and so far, so good, they get an A through the first course of the two games, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's funny because you have an opportunity where you can recalibrate what you think of a team, the Cardinals. We sort of associated them with, oh, they'll need time, they have Kyler Murray, will this work out? You know, there are questions with Cliff Kingsbury, but now to see, you know, with all the weapons, them making the most of it, but more so, like, even just the division, NFC West. Ooh. You're going up against the Rams, you're going up against the Seahawks. I know the Niners are hurting now, but for them to, you know, start 2-0, like, that's a surprise, but that's a major win, especially for Kyler.
Exactly, and a lot of people are going to point to the second game and say, well, it was the Washington football team. That first game was against a still healthy 49ers defensive outfit. So you're right, a lot to be impressed with in the early going for Kyler Murray. So he's an example of the shining good in this situation. I thought there were a three-pack of quarterbacks, Shanae, that all
Wait,
kind of
Wait, do we get a grade,
together,
though? Like, do you have an actual...
Oh, I said he got an A.
Oh, an A.
Kyler
okay.
gets an A. Like, have you ever seen A Christmas Story where Ralphie's in the dream and she's the A++,
yes.
Like, through two games, it is A++.
Even A. Good. Gotcha.
An even A for Kyler Murray. And honestly, if we're handing out A's, through two games, it's probably got to look pretty close to that for Josh Allen, does it not?
Buffalo Bills
quarterback Dan Orlovsky just joined us and said that the fourth quarter of the game this weekend, Josh Allen was the reason they won. He wasn't just along the ride for this one. And I think that's notable because he's a quarterback that we saw at the end of last season in some pressure situations not exactly rise to the occasion. But now with all those offensive weapons, it seems like the air raid Bills might really be a thing.
Speaking of it, was it over 700 yards, like 729 yards, number one in the NFL so far? That's a good start.
It's a hell of a start for a team that, again, was a Super Bowl roster around. When you look at the defense, one of the best secondaries in football after Tre'Davious White decided before the season to opt in and play and was rewarded handsomely for it. And right now it looks like their quarterback, Josh Allen, might be ready to take that step. His development has been so key for this team. So I think another A handed out there. Here's where we start to get to the incomplete grades at this point, Shanae, because I look at Baker Mayfield. And a lot of us, the last couple of years, it's been the Baker Mayfield roller coaster. Some weeks you're pulling down straight A's. Last season it looked like a lot of incomplete missing assignments. And now we go into a new year with a new coach in Kevin Stefanski. And it's been another up and down data set out of the gate for this team. Although the last we saw of them on Thursday Night Football last week, a game that surprised a lot of us, they got back to their bread and butter. So right now this feels like still a passing grade for this quarterback and this team.
Yeah, that bread and butter, I feel like it's the run game between Chubb and Hunt, right? Like, being able to feed them and make things easier, because when you don't do that, then you start confusing yourself with so many different answers. Is it A? Is it B? Is it C? Is it A and B? Is it E? Like, it's hard. You got to make it simple. A or B, right? And I think that's what we saw this past week.
You know what? This might be a situation where it's that E, all of the above, right?
Like, there we go.
It is Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt helping out of the backfield. But a lot of that happened because Kevin Stefanski remembered the horse that got him here. Play action passing,
yes.
Move the pocket play action passes, all these things that they did early so that they could run and dominate late with that. And I think if they can stick with that formula, I don't know if Baker Mayfield is as light the league on fire exciting as we made him out to be in the back half of that Browns season, the first year, his rookie year,
mm-hmm.
but I think he can be a more than serviceable, good to quite good quarterback in this league if they keep that up.
I'm trying to remember on a progress report, what do they have? Not A, B, or C, but it's like one of those, like, you're good, like it's okay. What is that one?
Well,
it's like the yellow territory.
I didn't see a lot of those progress reports, like the good versions or even the medium ones that you talked about, because, you know, like those snuck up on you, right? You knew when the report card is coming and you could kind of do damage assessment there.
No.
Those progress reports, they would come out of nowhere in the middle of the night.
They would, but my parents would not accept anything other than A's. That's it.
See, and
what kind of student were you?
I was actually a really good student. Like,
I forgot. ND.
I was a big time nerd. Like, I was a guy that was trying to make it so that if I wanted to, you know, if I needed to go to ND as a student, if sports didn't work out, I would put myself in position for that. It's been documented many times back on Golic and Wingo, talking about it with Dad through Mike and Mike over the years. My brother was not that version of a student, so when progress reports came, I knew progress reports were here, not because I saw them drop into the email inbox or anything like that, but because I heard my mom coming up the stairs to me in my brother's room. Jake, the progress report just came in. You're bleeping failing. And then stopped back downstairs. It was the usual drumbeat.
Were you a rally nerd? Like, you would study really well up until the test, or were you, like, consistently on it?
Oh, no. I was up late night balling on these ones. I was a procrastination all-star through and through. Did you actually get out ahead of assignments?
Oh, I had no choice. Like, so let me just tell you this one really quick story. The one time I knew I failed a test, my mom was the assistant principal in charge of discipline at my middle school, Hamilton Middle School, back home in Cypress, Texas. I knew I failed a big test when I walked out. We were in seventh grade, so we're the cool kids. We were on, like, the second floor. You can look at the balcony. My mom was pacing by where I normally sit at lunch, like, I'm going to get into this girl. That's when I knew I was going to. So if you have that type of deterrent, you know you're going to make all A's. Like, you have no choice. You don't want to deal with your mom, you know, she, you know, getting mad at you right before lunch. And, like, your friend's like, dang, like, study, Chinay, geez.
That's a tough one. Mom airing you out in front of the student body.
Yes. But are there any other quarterbacks you want to put on the progress report?
I will say one more as we talk about this. Quarterbacks making moves around the NFL. Making moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. I'm going to go with a C right now. I think it has been middle of the road for Mitchell Trubisky up until this point, because he's the other quarterback that was in that range. They had decisions to make. They brought Nick Foles in, and Mitchell Trubisky's credit, in a strange offseason, he went in and kept that job, won that job during the course of training camp, and we've seen hot and cold in the early going from Mitchell Trubisky. We've seen late half charges from him. We saw more consistent playmaking this past weekend. And I ultimately think with Mitchell Trubisky, it's probably going to be this, right? I think looking for a Josh Allen ascension, part of that has been, and now Allen Robinson's great, Tariq Cohen, who they re-signed to a deal this past week. There's some weapons around there, and their offensive line has played better this year. But ultimately, I just don't think we've seen or have given, I think, even the expectation of the kind of jump and progress we're seeing from Josh Allen. I think, quite frankly, Josh Allen is what you always hoped Mitchell Trubisky was going to become when they took him with their top overall pick, did the Chicago Bears back in the day. And so I'm one that looks at this, and I fear for the Bears that this is what they're going to get all year, and they're going to end up extending him or signing him to one of those Blake Bortles-like extensions and continuing to spin the wheel of mediocrity for this team. And I want better. I love Chicago sports fan. I love Bears fans, and I like Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know him, but I feel like I don't think he's a bad guy. I want everyone to succeed, but I just don't think this marriage of quarterback and team is one that deserves an extension and one that deserves more time than it's already got.
You know what we're all afraid of? A little bit of fool's gold, right? And I feel like that's what we're starting to see. We're like, oh, this is great. We're winning. But could this put us in a worse situation actually long term?
Let's put it this way, Chinay. If Mitchell Trubisky were Dak Prescott and they had found him in the fourth round and these were the kind of performances he was putting out,
yep,
it'd been bye-bye a long time ago. Like, you've seen how hard Dak Prescott. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with the Cowboys. But if Dak Prescott had a one in front of his draft slot in that first round, we would have been extended. We would have been good in that situation. And if you would have flipped the script and Mitchell would have performed like this with a fourth round in front of his draft grade, we would be talking about him already in a different uniform.
Yep.
And that's the reality of this league, is you're looking for anything to hold on and justify a top overall pick.
You're actually a pretty fair teacher and grader. That's pretty fair.
So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Except.
Coming up next, let's grade the chances of the Nuggets getting back into the series tonight. Why I actually might be more optimistic than you on this one. We'll get to that next. It's Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Soups. What are the best soups? We're doing our research here. We've got broccoli cheddar. We've got chicken noodle. We've got pot pie. We've got chili. I'm here to start a fight. Chené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here on Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Chené and Golic Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Jokic and the Nuggets battle the Lakers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And, you know, speaking of this matchup, Lakers-Nuggets, you know, obviously there was a controversial end, you know, to game two. Now we're, you know, they could have been looking at 1-1, but then, what was it? The brow, which a lot of people didn't recognize that in real time after Anthony Davis hit the three. We saw the chest bump where someone hit the ground, but a lot of people didn't see the sneaky brow. Like, you saw that, right, Junior?
I did, and I was a little like, I guess it was one of those things I was hesitant to believe because I understand he's kind of made that a thing, but is that a thing that's like actually cool to celebrate in that moment? Like, Chené, if you were getting hype and getting buck after hitting a game-winning shot in the NBA or WNBA playoffs, would the first thing you thought of be to like, oh yeah, rep this unibrow, let's go?
Yeah, probably not. I've always dreamt about the scenario. I want to like be the person that jumps on top of the scorer's table, you know, after you win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
And like does that whole thing. Or I would have done something super ratchet, like starts working or something, like, you know, something crazy, like right in the camera, like, yeah, you gonna see this. But, yeah, those are all my dreams and my visions.
I feel like I actually weirdly would be in on the twerking, too. Like,
you probably would.
Watch, like, a grown man just hit that game-winning three, and it's like, oh, yeah, toot it.
toot it and boot it. That's what you would have done. But, you know, it's a big game, right? It's a big game. Down 0-2, these Nuggets seem to have 9 lives in the playoffs. It's been a sight to see between, you know, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. But now we're waiting on, like, okay, is that enough? But now this begs the question again. Here on Chené and Golic Jr., we love to ask it, is this a must win or a just win?
God, you know what? For my selfish ambitions, I would say it's a just win game for them because just win one, so you can go on to Lakers in 5 and fulfill my prophecy on this. But I think, Chené, we talked to Richard Jefferson earlier, and he brought up this point. If you're the Nuggets, your resiliency is something everyone lauds. But at some point, there's got to be a question. How do we keep winding up in these situations? You are not like the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL who can defeat any insurmountable lead. You are not the Golden State Warriors of years past where being down 15 isn't a real thing because you had Steph Curry, because you've got Patrick Mahomes on that. They ain't walking through that door. Shout out to Amin El-Hassan in the Patino game in this one to help the Denver Nuggets out in this situation. So you got to start coming out here and finding yourselves and some leads and staying in those modes and not letting the Lakers go out and build big leads.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like what we've witnessed was like, wow, so impressive. They're coming back. Here they go once again. And it's easy to draw motivation from being down and fighting your way back and like using that to carry you over, especially in the second half. But the thing is that's exhausting too. Like, you're putting your team through a lot of stress. And while the motivation helps, is that sustainable? It has been for the short term, but like for the long term versus the Lakers. And then also if you have ambitions to go to the finals, you can't just be comfortable, you know, in deficits and think that that's the way you're going to win 4 out of 7 each and every time.
I love how you gave competent advice there. And my only advice to the Nuggets was stop getting down to the really good basketball team in the Western Conference Finals in the NBA bubble. You have offered coherent advice on what the Nuggets can do. Let's turn to the Hall of Famer Doris Burke, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and was asked about some of the adjustments those Nuggets might make.
One of the things you take incredible solace from is what your defense was able to achieve in the last half of that game. So they had been dominated in the paint through every other quarter and from the free throw line, and they only gave up 10 points in the paint in the second half. They consistently made Los Angeles play and execute in half court. You saw the game slow to their pace. You saw them make the necessary stop to not corral it with a defensive rebound. you know, is obviously heartbreaking. But the other thing you saw, Jay Will, was the two-man game of Jokic and Jamal Murray start to have some effect in the series. And so, listen, as Jokic said, we've got to fight. Going down, you know, 0-2 against the Lakers is a different animal, but I expect that they'll show the grit and toughness that they've shown throughout. But obviously that Game 2 loss felt pretty weighty in this series, that's for sure.
Chinna Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and she mentions that, Chinna, and what they can try and exploit versus the Lakers. And I look at the other side, what you need to stop. It's going to be a pick your poison. We know LeBron and AD have been so consistent, but we said this earlier in the playoffs, and I still think it's true. LeBron is the known force in this situation. We don't count on second halves and fourth quarters like we saw from LeBron in Game 2. That is an outlier generally in these situations. But what do we say? When Anthony Davis gets in that mode, that is adding the Hulk to the Avengers and all of a sudden making them unstoppable. That's the thing it really seems like you've got to try and suppress.
You know, it's funny. We're trying to say, like, who is the player for the Nuggets that will be the X factor for them to be successful? The player may not actually be in the game. It might just be Mike Malone. One thing I'm starting to realize is I was watching that clip of AD hitting the shot, and then I don't know if y'all are on the Twitterverse, but you saw a lot of people show Frank Vogel's face, like, looking just like a proud pops. Every coach that's left is coaching their tail off, right? Eric Spoelstra, Brad Stevens, Frank Vogel, and even Mike Malone. And you think about this situation with the Nuggets, they have so many different players that have contributed. PJ Dozier even getting minutes. Like, Michael Porter Jr. like has had moments in this playoff run. Gary Harris has had moments where he's really clamped down and played great defense. Need him on Odo. You have Jamal Murray and Jokic. Like, the schematics might actually start and end with the coaching and who he gives minutes to really combat the Lakers. And so that might be the added X factor. Which coach is, I mean, we're seeing it in the East with the zones and all that type of stuff. Coaches have been showing out, and I'm excited to see how they respond after that, you know, suck the life out of you type of shot from Anthony Davis.
Chinna, I'm glad you brought up coaching, because I've been meaning to ask you, have you ever had a coach walk into the huddle with you, Jeff Fisher, the coach of the LA Sparks, let's stick with him, and say, we're going to win this game with offensive swag? Hearing those words come out of Frank Vogel's mouth in the Los Angeles Lakers huddle, I don't know if that's something that I could look at Frank Vogel, of all people, and take seriously. I appreciate the sentiment in some regards, because you're not going to try and make things too complicated when you got the really, really good players in all of this. But how was your offensive swag, Chinna?
Yeah, I would have been like, Coach Fish, like, I need you. He would not say that, first of all. He would say expletives. Sorry, Fish, that I'm out. You know, like, and he'd be, what do we say? G-A-T-A.
Yeah, that's, I could say, that G-A-T-A. Is, get after that. Yeah, exactly.
But it still worked. Good job, Coach Vogel.
Hey, listen, you find an excuse or you find a way. And apparently, Frank Vogel, yes, that Frank Vogel's way.
Offensive swag, boy.
Offensive swag. I need the mock-up online, the meme of Frank Vogel with the AirPods and the waves all of a sudden here to make its way through. Offensive swag.
I can just imagine
Frank Vogel.
Caruso on the timeout being like, yeah.
That is so true. Alex Caruso heard that and was like, yes, toss me another lob. Yeah. Offensive swag for days.
Offensive swag, I got this.
Caruso's looking around, fist pounding his teammates like, yeah, you guys got this, right? Offensive swag.
And they just look like, I bet. That's what they say, I bet.
And then Alex Caruso will go and catch another body on someone who didn't read the scouting report. A baudet, as Chinna would say. My God. All right, that is the energy we court. That is the energy we covet. That is the energy we're going to try and find and keep. That's next. It's Chinna Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinna Engel Jr., the podcast.
Okay, I see what you're doing, Cliff, playing Tootin' and Booted. I just want to say right now, Mama, I love you. P.O.P. holding it down. Shout out to Mrs. Ife Ogumike and Papa D. Shout out to Miss Christine. And of course, Singer. This is Chinna Engel Jr. here with Junior Chinna Ogumike on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We'd like to thank our family, because this is a family-friendly program. Probably just for this segment.
Gonna say probably for this one, not all the ones where we're talking about, like, you know, twerking and taking
Mom,
my shirt off.
Mom, this is not happening. My mom's watching right now, so let's behave ourselves, please. Oh. We don't talk about those things. What are you saying?
My bad. I forgot we had people over for dinner right now.
We gotta act right.
We have company over.
Look, when you're in a relationship, we're in a work relationship. We don't put like all of our deets on the dinner table when the parents are over. Okay, like, come on.
That is true. That's a fair point. You know what it's like, Chinna? Like, when you got to have that filter where you go to your grandparents' house and you know, like, I might say certain things over the course of normal life that are a bit ratchet, that have a little bit of colorful language associated, but, like, it's like going on air for radio, quite honestly, and then some. That filter, as soon as you walk into your grandparents' house, it's sirs, ma'ams, it's hands folded neatly, and it's trying to make sure you don't say anything that's going to get you uninvited to future holidays.
Exactly. So we love our parents out here. And we'd also love our family. Our family that joined us today, Jason Fitz, who co-signed our Win Never for Trevor. That's a check. Dave McMenamin, who was live from the bubble. Appreciate that. Dan Orlovsky, who told us not to panic when it came to Drew Brees. All right, New Orleans. And of course, Richard Jefferson, who was also in the bubble, and he told us that LeBron James won a championship with him, not the other way around. So that we had a good group, a good family.
All-star cast today. That's what we love, the family and friends environment around here from the bubble and beyond.
Absolutely.
All right, now it's time. We look for this every day, and we had to search for it harder than usual today. We talked about procrastinating before, and we procrastinated big time on trying to find and keep energy. But thankfully, the world never stops giving me random one gotta go related internet content. So, Cliff, we want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
By the way, in keeping that same energy, also shout out to Pete Sampson, Notre Dame beat writer for The Athletic, who joined us earlier.
Yes, very true. That was so early, breaking the news about Notre Dame postponing their game.
Yes, big time news from around the world of college football. Again, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, postponed, was supposed to be played this weekend, was supposed to be called by my father, Mike Golic Sr., and Dave Pasch. So it was going to be a cool moment there. Hopefully they can link back up in the future. But speaking of linking up, Janae, we had to celebrate and keep that same energy. Denny Hamlin and Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan have teamed up to form a NASCAR team, and who else but Bubba Wallace will be the first driver as a part of that team. Pretty cool moment to see all these parties coming together, and Michael Jordan saying, and our own Ryan McGee did a great job documenting this with SVP last night, that he decided that this was time because of Bubba Wallace and what he'd seen from him this year.
This is another great example of creating the change that you would like to see, and this is why ownership matters. A lot of times you wonder, how can you give back during these times? And when you have a platform, you do something with it. I know, you know, we've heard from Michael Jordan what people have said, you know, when he was in his prime, when it came to politics and where he stands and all that type of stuff. Well, he's made it crystal clear, donating over $100 million to causes to help end systemic racism. And then now this, you know, creating an opportunity, a lens, a light, and also an avenue, as you said, an entry point for people to really, you know, find this sport and fall in love with it. So you love to see it.
You love to see in 2020 sports finding ways to change, adapt, and evolve. And it's not about pushing anybody out. It's about bringing more people to the party. And I think this union has a chance to do that and to get me to spend heinous amounts of money on Bubba Wallace Jumpman gear.
Yeah, it's going to be fire.
Signed, sealed, and delivered on that. Speaking of something sealed for a long time, more than two millennia ago, 27 Egyptians were laid to rest in Saqqara. I don't know how you pronounce two Q's in a row. An ancient city of the dead. They were wrapped in linens. Priests placed them inside wooden boxes adorned with hieroglyphics. And those mummies stayed buried for 2,500 years until being recently discovered by archaeologists in Egypt. The finding was one of Egypt's largest in over a century. And Chene, it has me very concerned because any sort of sarcophagus news leads me to believe that we are only mere moments away from somehow recreating and making in real life the Brendan Fraser only edition
Let's
of the mummy.
Let's go! I know. I heard, like, we talked about the mummy and everyone was like, oh yeah, that movie. I was like, is there any other version than the one with Brendan Fraser? Those are two classics. Like, what was it? Oh, three. The Mummy, George of the Jungle, and Dudley Do-Right.
Dudley Do-Right. If you are looking for the pull that you weren't expecting today, it is delivered by Chinua Igwumike. And the last one we saw making the rounds on the internet today, a classic game of one gotta go to Chinua, one of the 75-piece bags of candy, Swedish Fish, Twizzlers, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Sour Patch Kids, Kit Kat, and Reese's Pieces. One gotta go, who you taking?
I might go with, like, the Kit Kat.
Whoa!
Can you get chocolate from other places? I mean, I'm...
Whoa!
I'm not sure. There's no shortage of chocolate over here, you feel me?
You can't. You know what? Any other day you could fall back on that. Not the day that you slander Kit Kat.
You're not going for my sultry nature?
Not distracted by the sultry nature.
Dang it.
Always standing Kit Kats around here. By the way, if one's got to go, sending Reese's Pieces packing. I am tired of seeing Swedish Fish slandered online. Not today. Not tomorrow.
You need a gummy.
Not ever.
You need a gummy.
You need a gummy.
You know
always.
You love chocolate.
Always. In every way. We will try and be better tomorrow and figure it out.
Sorry,
Spain
Mom.
And Fitz going to keep that same energy. Hi, Mom.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.